Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Tim's shoulder is broken.
Yeah, it made a big, loud, snappy noise.
It did, and all he did was go to push the button.
That button, man. You think I'd be a... Yeah, I'd be a pro by now, but still.
No.
The button strikes back.
The button strikes back.
Mm-hmm.
You bite the fry bites back, my man.
It happens. Damn. It happened here.
Damn. 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 Damn movies.
Movies? I got two. You got two.
Four damn movies.
Four damn movies.
I got two good ones.
Oh, okay. Well, then you should probably go first.
All right. Here, I will.
Okay, do it.
Don't be acting like I ain't going to go first.
All right.
The year 2017. My movie, Blade of the Immortal.
Okay.
I love this movie.
Good.
I watched this on September 22nd, 2023.
You watched it on my birthday.
I watched it for your birthday.
Excellent.
2 hours, 20 minutes, action drama fantasy, directed by Takeshi Miike. We were talking about him just recently.
We were.
He back. Starring Takuya Kimura, Hana Sugasaki, and Sota Fukushi. IMDb, movie summary. Cursed with a life of immortality, a samurai is tasked by a young girl to help avenge the death of her father, based on the manga series by Hiroki Samura.
Yes.
I have read the entire manga and I love it quite a bit.
Really? I didn't know that.
I have every issue. It was one of the earliest mangas in the 90s that was getting released in that format, that traditional American format.
Right.
And they would always screw it up and mirror image things and everything be wrong. But that's not the point. They learned eventually.
Eventually.
But this movie covers the entirety of the series, so if you want to read it, wait on this movie.
I see.
This movie will tell you how the book end.
Oh.
So this ran, as far as American issues, the manga will be pieced out differently in chapters.
Of course.
But as far as American, regular, traditional, 25, 30 page kind of comics, this was 130 some odd issues.
Wow.
They're all covered in here. All the key bullet points are in here. This is definitely that type of manga that had a lot of action lines and a lot of violence and whatnot because it was samurai. Very cool story, though. This is, are you familiar? You're not familiar at all with Blade of the Immortal?
Vaguely.
It also had an anime release, which I don't think finished quite the same, finished at all.
Hmm.
But there are some really over-the-top things in this manga, which makes it a perfect choice of director for this one.
Yeah.
There's basically a man who has created his own version of a samurai school, and he's taking out all the other samurai schools with his goons and cronies. He's got some creative goons under him, and he takes out this girl Rin's family and leaves her alive. And she swears revenge on him. Manji is the other main character, and he gets defeated in battle, and an old woman comes along and throws some bloodworms in his face and says, "You're gonna live, it's gonna be great, whatever, I'm a crazy old loon." And the bloodworms will piece him back together when he gets cut apart.
Whoa.
So you could chop off his hand and eventually it'll reattach itself if you put it there.
Hmm.
Pretty cool. There are so many weird samurai things that happen in here. Violence over the top, the gore over the top.
Nice.
But it is so much fun. If you don't know what's coming, and there's like so many cool characters I want to tell you about.
Right.
But I don't want to spoil it because I remember how I felt even just reading the manga. Like, oh my God, that guy is nuts. This is going to be great.
Awesome.
And like, Manji's a pretty good samurai, but he's really surviving and able to take everyone on because of the bloodworms.
Right.
He's covered in scars. He's lost an eye that's all like whited out. He's got slashes across his face.
Yeah, okay.
They did take out, so in the comic, they do reference a swastika, which does not mean what they meant for the Nazis.
Right.
They elected to leave that out of the movie. Probably the right move.
I think so.
Because then you'd have to explain it.
Right. God forbid different things mean different things to different people.
That's true. But hey, I get it, right?
It largely means
that thing.
Yeah, when it's that one, that's a toughie.
Sure. So that is not there, in case you're wondering. If you're familiar with it, that's why that was in the comic, and that's why they chose not to put it in the movie.
Yep.
But it's really high-paced action. I was shocked that they hit all the key bullet points. Some things happen out of order, but ultimately you get everything you want.
That's awesome.
Really cool stuff. And some Ellie water.
You gotta have Ellie water.
Ellie water this has episode. More potassium than you would think in your vitamin water.
You know what? Ellie is just basically potassium.
Mostly potassium.
Mostly potassium.
Oh, the knife puppy.
She's very thirsty.
So thirsty. Couldn't be any thirstier.
No.
But basically, that's it. This movie's a lot of fun. If you like a samurai movie, this should be right up your alley. There are so many cool characters, and I would love to talk about it more, but I'm not going to do it here because I don't think I want to ruin anything.
No, I think that's fair. And also, there's always time for expanded topics, and could be a rewind episode where we go in depth. Could you imagine a rewind episode and we just talk about one movie the whole time? That could happen if you tell us you want it.
Yeah, if you want a more in-depth rewind, I could talk for hours about all these characters.
I feel bad in a lot of these, and it kind of has exacerbated itself in the YouTube format because we don't talk about these movies in a super long form.
Yeah.
We kind of talk about them in a very short form. So I can't impress enough upon anybody and everybody. If you want to hear us really expand on a topic, there's nothing stopping us from doing a special that is just one particular film and we talk about it for the length of the podcast. You just got to tell us that's how you want it.
Yeah, absolutely. We would love to do that. But as it is, this is a podcast first, and we got to keep it around that 20, 25-minute mark, right?
That's right. Around.
Around. So IMDb, they give it a 6.7 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics, 97 of them, give this 87%.
Wow.
The audience at Rotten Tomatoes, 1,000 plus, 71%.
Okay.
No wife score here. You want to guess mine?
Ooh, I'll go with a... You like the source material?
I do.
I'm going to go with a 7.5.
8.5 for me. Damn. This movie rules.
Keep missing the mark here.
That's okay.
That's all right. I'm always happy when I go under what you actually score it.
Right. So it's pretty exciting. Over would feel bad.
Yeah. That's awesome. Very exciting.
It's a fun one.
I have a movie from 1963 to follow this up.
Okay.
It is The Sword and the Stone.
The Sword and the Stone?
Yeah, it's an old Disney.
Oh.
I watched this on September 13th of 2023. It is 1 hour and 19 minutes only.
I see.
It is an animated musical, as a lot of Disney's are. Wolfgang Reitherman is the director of this one. Ricky Sorensen, Carl Swenson, and Junius Matthews provide the voice talent on this one.
Wolfgang.
Your summary for this particular film, if you're not familiar somehow, a poor boy named Arthur learns the power of love, kindness, knowledge, and bravery with the help of a wizard called Merlin.
Oh, Merlin.
On his path to become one of the most beloved kings in English history.
Spoiler.
Yeah, it's King Arthur. It's King Arthur. Disney does King Arthur, basically, is what this movie is. This movie's weird.
Yes.
This movie is basically a training montage.
Yes.
That's all this movie is.
Turn into an animal. Do a montage.
That's all it is. Yeah, turn into a sexy squirrel, kids. And that's what...
Poor squirrel.
That poor squirrel. Both those lady squirrels.
Yeah, they both get done dirty.
Yeah. But I do love the, like, I'm a crotchety, grumpy old man that's, like, becoming me more and more. It's like, damn, I am Merlin.
Yeah.
But it's well done. It's just, it seems strange for me thinking about Disney at this point, right? So we're talking about 30-ish years.
Yep.
They couldn't come up with a better like classic tale or fairy tale than King Arthur, which is just a story seeped in violence and adultery and a lot of very adult themes. It's like Disney's like, you know what? King Arthur's the one for us. And it's like, what? Like you couldn't pick a different fairy tale to expand on? You went for this one?
Knights are open. You know, you can do that.
It's really wild to me. And you can kind of, I think a lot of the problem is they were hindered a lot. Like, you say, what are you going to do about King Arthur? You can't do any parts when he becomes the king. So it's like, we really got to hyper-focus on the part of him becoming the king. That's what we'll do.
Sure.
So it sounded almost like somebody, like, issued Walt Disney a drunken wager or challenge or something. I bet you can do King Arthur, buddy.
Yes, I can do King Arthur.
Well, you just watch me do King Arthur.
Yes, I'll do King Arthur.
This is me, Walt Disney.
I'm Walt Disney.
I'm inebriated. I don't even know if Walt Disney was alive in 1963. I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm going to say yes.
I don't know the life.
His head was.
I don't know the life and times of Walter S. Disney.
Walter S. Disney.
It's actually Walter Elias Disney.
Elias.
That is true.
What year?
63. He was still alive. Walter Elias Disney created a product called Wed Clay. That was used in a lot of the Disneyland attractions. It was a very quick to dry air clay that was very moldable. It's cool. It's a really cool substance. It's still used in effects today. But just so you know, if you ever use wed clay, Walter Elias Disney is your man.
He's the guy.
But yes, so it kind of hampered. Sorry about the tangent. It kind of hampered in that way. So I feel like the movie is fun, but it just doesn't feel like a complete movie to me.
That's fair.
So that's kind of my bugaboo with it.
Oh, bugaboo.
That's my bugaboo. IMDb gives it a 7.1 out of 10.
Sure.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 30 critics, 67%.
Yep.
The audience of 100,000 plus, 73%.
Okay.
And I come in just a touch lower at a 6 out of 10.
That's probably right.
It's good, but it's not. I mean, if we're like measuring Disney films, this one definitely not striking up too high. I think just hampered by the fact. Doesn't have a good song. It's got fun moments and like interesting things, but it's just.
It makes you feel bad about a sexy squirrel.
Does. We feel bad about that. We feel
can't
bad
get
about
over
it,
that.
But we love Archimedes the Owl.
He is fun.
Yes.
You know who's our, Jared is very much our Archimedes.
Oh yeah. Very, very much just like the, I got to get in the, he's not always thrilled.
No.
Sometimes happy, a little bit of Schadenfreude, like, oh, ha, 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 see what happens to you. But that's all right. It's all right. Covered in hair.
Covered.
Covered in hair. That owl is not covered in hair. It's like feathers and hair. Imagine they're the same thing.
You got it.
Yeah, that's it. Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, I got another movie.
Oh, another?
Would you like to hear about it?
I would.
It's an animated.
Animated?
It's a traditional animated.
Oh, I love a hand animated.
Are you excited now?
Yeah.
2023's The Venture Brothers. Radiant is the blood of the baboon heart.
Oh.
Their subtitles are so effing good.
I love me a Venture Brothers.
I also love me a Venture Brothers. I watched this on the 25th of September, 2023. Your IMDb minutes, 1 hour, 23 minutes, genre animation, directed by Christopher McCulloch, starring Clancy Brown.
Oh, yes.
Nina Aranda. And Patrick Warburton.
Oh, yes.
IMDb movie summary. Doc's latest invention will either bankrupt the ventures or launch them to new heights.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's about right. This takes place after the final season of The Venture Brothers. This is perhaps a tie-up to everything.
Okay.
Maybe this is a nice bow on it. As most things with The Venture Brothers, it wouldn't surprise me if they just decided to come back to it at some point. I love the show. I love the series. I think it's incredibly smart.
Especially
after like season 2, it just really picks up and never stops.
It finds its footing.
And once it does, it just never lets go. It's so incredibly good. Mm-hmm. But this has to do with Mrs. Dr. Girlfriend being framed for something she did not commit. And she's being hunted by the Guild of Calamitous Intent, as well as Brock and his S.H.I.E.L.D. people. And it is a pretty fun story. There's so much going on. There's an A plot, a B plot, a C plot, and a D plot. And of course, they somehow tie them all together, which blows my mind. Dr. Venture is trying to launch a new home help, like an Alexa. I don't even want to say it because it's going to hear me.
It's going to trigger.
It's going to trigger. But something like that, which is basically just Helper's head.
Okay.
Which pisses off Helper. So Helper's really mad about it.
That's great.
He thinks it's a new version of him. It's an improvement upon him.
That's great.
So he resents it. That robot's only in this for so much, and he has some of the best moments by far.
Nice.
But all your characters that you love are here. Dean is one of the subplots. He has run away, and he is talking to all the different versions of him in his head, essentially.
Okay.
Which the best one, of course, is him wearing the Batman mask, doing the scary Batman voice. One of the best, so many of the best parts are Dean, where he's an old noir detective, or he thinks he's Batman.
Oh, that's awesome.
And his whole goal is to find his mother. He's, you know, they're convinced that he doesn't have a mother, whatever, and you're trying to figure it out. And he goes on this quest, and he finds his mother, which is
nice.
Kind of fun.
That's awesome.
And there's so many other plots going on at the same time. I'm not going to give you too much more, but pretty interesting story. All of it ties back together. It felt like, you know, it didn't just feel like an episode. It felt like it was a big story, and I enjoyed it quite a bit.
They managed to pull so much out of an individual episode of The Venture Brothers.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me that this is so tightly woven together.
It's bonkers, man. I mean, maybe they would have not had 4 or 5 different things going off at once, but since it was a movie length, they could focus on it. I felt like I watched a half hour episode. Like, it went by so quick.
I love that.
Yeah, I had a great time.
Awesome.
Such a good time. So that's all I'm going to give you. If you love The Venture Brothers, if you like the show, you will love this. This is more the same. You will enjoy it. 100%.
That's awesome. Good to hear. There's nothing wrong with a good return to form or like a big version of a beloved series like this.
And like they didn't say this is absolutely definitively the end. It's kind of treated like this could be the end.
Right.
And if it is,
continue,
it's fine.
Right.
It's absolutely fine. It tied up a few little things that were left open after the series.
Love that.
So
very cool.
So IMDb gave this an 8 out of 10. That's really high for them.
That's really high.
There's only 12 critical reviews in. This is very new.
Right.
At the time of recording. But it's got a 92% from the critics.
Nice.
The audience does not have a score. I found that surprising. Yeah. The critical score got in, but the audience score did not. There is no score. And I agree. It's an 8 out of 10.
Nice.
It's awesome.
Very cool to hear.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I will take you to the land of 1993.
Let's go to the land of 1993.
For another animated.
Is it The Critic?
No.
Dang.
It's Once Upon a Forest.
Once Upon a Forest?
Once Upon a Forest.
I'm trying to remember this one.
I watched this on September 19th, 2023. It is 1 hour and 12 minutes only.
Only?
Only. It's only. Shorter than The Sword in the Stone.
Huh.
It is an animated family film directed by Charles Grossignor? Charles.
Hi, Charles.
Starring Michael Crawford, Ellen Blaine, and Benji Gregory.
Okay.
Your summary for this one, a young mouse, a mole, and a hedgehog risk their lives to find a cure for their badger friend who's been poisoned by a toxic spell.
I don't think I've seen this.
It is a Hanna-Barbera.
Okay.
And it is cheap, and it is poorly animated.
Okay.
The story's pretty cool. The thing that I like the most, and I think the way this is the most successful to me, is the way it treats humans.
Okay.
So there's like this toxic poison gas as the result of a truck getting run off the road.
Okay.
And so there's like this heavier than air gas. So it starts to go down into like the burrows of these animals and things. And the main characters are all young and they're off on a lesson with this kind of like village elder. And then they come back and they find out that everybody's been poisoned by this gas.
Oof.
So the stakes are pretty high.
For sure.
And they have the one little girl goes to find her family because she doesn't listen.
Mm.
And so she gets breathing the gas and they have to rescue her. And they have to go find this special flower in order to make a cure for the poison.
Okay.
And or the toxin. And so they have to go, the three characters who don't get along the greatest have to work together to go on a quest as a team to find this flower and return it in a certain amount of time.
Okay.
So very kind of traditional adventure, but it's just the animation's not great. The character designs and the sets and are like, you know what I mean? Like the actual letter, they're fine. But I mean, you can tell it's like clear, like we did three very distinct layers at times.
Okay.
Like it's just kind of cheapy pee-pee. I wasn't too happy with that part of it, but I did like the movie in terms of like its flow and the characters. But I mean, this is all like hyper treaded on territory at this point. Like
yeah.
You're getting nothing new here. Like it's not super duper exciting. It's kind of a return to form.
Just make that thing for the new generation.
It really feels cranked out to sell a VHS tape. Is sure. What it feels like. This is 93, right? So it just feels like it's like, let's just crank out this thing and kids will watch it because kids will watch anything.
They're watching Fern Gully. What's Fern Gully-esque?
Yeah. Like they're going to put it out. It's going to sell because they're going to put 15 copies on a Blockbuster shelf. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Sell a bunch of copies. It just, and it has that mass produced feel where it's like, it has kind of a song in it, but it's not a long song. It's like 45 seconds. And it's like not a good song because they didn't really, they're like, we kind of have to like lip service-y put a song in here, right? Like that's what these movies do. So it just kind of felt like it was hitting beats. It's like, it's fine and it does its thing, but I would say it has more problems than it does successes.
Okay.
Oh, and on the whole. I did watch this because this is a Sam childhood favorite.
Uh-oh.
So she is just, I'm getting angry looks and head shakes abound at my review here, but I'm the one doing the reviews around here.
That's right.
But I'll let Sam shout her score out from off camera in a minute.
Yeah.
For now, IMDb, 6.4 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 23 critics went to review it to a 22%.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The audience, 5,000 plus, gave it the second best score possible, probably 69%. Very nice.
Very nice.
And I give it a 4 out of 10. Sam, what do you give this movie?
It's too hard.
It's too hard out of 10.
That's right. Give it 69.
It's hard to get past those nostalgia movies. I mean, I've been reviewing them as we've gone through the alphabet challenge here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to review those movies you just have a fondness for as a youth.
You're allowed to love something more than you should.
Yeah.
Like a 7.5.
7.5 is the definitive.
Well, I mean, those numbers are reflected in the other scores as well.
Yeah, the audience score is a little high.
Yeah.
But that's all right. I mean, there's definitely movies I've been like, everybody's wrong. It's a 9.
Oh, yeah. That's always my favorite.
That's a big one for me. So nothing wrong with that. It's you like what you like. If you watched it and you enjoyed it, that's great. I think that's the most important thing. You watch a movie and you like it, that's not hurting anybody else.
That's right.
Love them movies.
That's right. Unless the production hurts somebody. That's
not okay.
Not cool, bro.
Not cool, Alec Baldwin.